2 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings 19, verse 16, Elijah is told to anoint Elisha to be prophet in thy room or in thy stead. I'd like to read verses 19 through 21. With this command from God, he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he, would be Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. In 2 Kings chapter 2, we'll begin reading with verse 1. We want to read down through verse 15. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho, remember they were looking afar off, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. What we read in these two passages, 1 Kings 19 and here in 2 Kings chapter 2, of course involve Elijah and Elisha, two great prophets of God, two key figures in the Old Testament. In the first passage in 1 Kings 19, we have record of Elijah under the direction of God anointing Elisha for the ministry as his successor. And there's much there concerning the call to preach. We're not going to preach on that today. But in this, we see, in 1 Kings 19, we also see the beginning of a life of service to God. In the second passage, in 2 Kings chapter 2, we see Elijah and Elisha on a final journey, culminating with Elijah being caught up into heaven and Elisha receiving the power of God upon his life. From these two passages, I believe we have a beautiful picture of the Christian life. And in these two passages, there is much valuable instruction that we can gather from both Elijah and Elisha in these days in which we live. In this message, we will focus our attention upon Elisha and hopefully receive instruction and encouragement from him and hopefully see the application to our own lives for this day. In these two passages, we see that Elisha displayed the very characteristics that we must have if we are going to be what God would have us to be. We see his faith. We see his assurance. We see his devotion, his commitment, his courage, his obedience, his desire, his passion, his resolve, and his perseverance in following Elijah to the very end. All of this was a picture of what you and I need to go all the way with God. As we focus upon Elisha, such should lead us to much personal examination and soul searching. I want to preach this morning on going on and on and on with God. We'll begin in 2 Kings chapter 2, where we read of Elisha's journey with Elijah. And as you view Elisha and Elijah journeying together in 2 Kings chapter 2, such should be a mirror of you and I journeying with God throughout our life. First of all, notice that this was a journey together. We began by reading in 1 Kings 19, Elijah anointing Elisha. And from 1 Kings 19 to 2 Kings chapter 2, it's been between 10 and 12 years. So it's now been 10 to 12 years since Elisha left the oxen and followed Elijah ministering unto him. Coming to 2 Kings chapter 2, We see Elisha is on the last leg of the journey with Elijah. A journey from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho to Jordan. Notice in verse 1, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then notice verse 2. So they went down to Bethel. And then notice verse 4. So they came to Jericho. Then notice verse 6. And they too went on. And then notice in verse 7, and they too stood by the Jordan. And then in verse 8, so that they too went over on dry ground. And then in verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on. We see them on a journey together. All through the journey, Elisha and Elijah are together. Every stop of the way, Elisha and Elijah are together. This is a picture that our life is to be a journey together with God. Every stop along the way is to be with God. Now notice the spirit of Elisha during this journey. In verse 2, they are at Gilgal. And there is an alternative presented to Elisha. This is by way of a test. The alternative is, Elisha, stay here. You stay here in Gilgal. Not to proceed on with Elijah. But listen as Elisha says, I will not leave thee. I will not leave thee. If you're leaving Gilgal, I'm leaving Gilgal. I will not leave thee. So Elisha and Elijah proceed together to Bethel. And there we read in verse 3, and the sons or the disciples of the prophets, and Elijah had a big hand in training these prophets, that were at Bethel, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And Elisha says, yes, I know. But then he says, hold your peace. In other words, there is no need to discuss this matter. I am sticking with Elijah. Yes, I know that he's going to be taken from me, but there's no need to discuss this matter. I am sticking with Elijah. I am going all the way with him, no matter what is involved. In verse 4, Elijah again gives Elisha an alternative to stay. Again, this is by way of test. And again, hear Elisha say, I will not leave thee. In other words, I am sticking with you. Wherever you go, I am going. And then we read there in verse 4, so they came to Jericho. Elisha and Elijah. And again, verse 5. Elisha is approached by the sons of the prophets who are trying to convince him, stay here. You have gone far enough. Elijah is going to be taken from you today. Elisha, don't you realize that you're walking down a dead-end street? Elisha, it doesn't make any sense for you to proceed any further. Just stay here. And Elisha gives the same answer that he gave back in Bethel. He says, yes, I know that Elijah is going to be taken from me, but there's no need to discuss this matter. I'm sticking by Elijah. I'm going all the way with him, no matter what is involved. And then in verse 6, still at Jericho, Elijah gives Elisha again an alternative to stay. And again we hear Elisha say, I will not leave thee. And then we read in verse 6, and they too went on. What a wonderful picture. And they too went on. And what we see here is that all along the journey, for you and I, there will be those as the sons of the prophets. And these weren't the enemies of God. But there will be those who will try to convince us, you've gone far enough. You've done enough. Stay here. They may even tell us it's no use, that perhaps we're headed down a dead end. There's nothing to be gained to go further. But like Elisha, our response needs to be, there's no need to discuss this matter. I'm going all the way with him, no matter what that involves. What we also see here is, on our journey, there are going to be tests. God is going to give us some tests. There are going to be some alternatives provided to stay behind. But like Elisha, our continual response needs to be, I will not leave thee. Nothing could deter Elisha from his commitment and devotion to Elijah. Nothing could dampen Elisha's desire and passion and resolve to go all the way with Elijah. There will always be people. There will always be things and attempts to hold us back from God. And there will always be other options presented to us as tests. But if we're going to be where we ought to be in the service of God, there must be a determination that is stronger than all that stands in the way, that says, I am going to cleave to God and I'm going to go all the way with Him, no matter what that involves. And this is the spirit that we see in Elisha. But I want you to notice also the wisdom of Elisha. In verse 9, Elijah looks Elisha in the eyes. And he says, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. Elisha, ask anything you want. Anything you want, Elisha. Just ask. And Elisha, rising above all fleshly and worldly desires, responds, I pray thee. Those are words that denote a tone of fervency. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah was a man of great faith. He was a man of courage. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that was mightily used of God. And Elisha here says, I want to be like you. I want to be like you. You ask me what I want. I want to be like you. This reveals what Elisha's heart was set upon, what he desired above all else. This desire is also expressed in verse 14. In his moment of grief, he cries out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He realized that he could not do what God called him to do without God's power. He longs for God. He longs for the power of God upon his life. If you and I are going to be what we ought to be in the service of the Lord, we must rise above fleshly desires, and we must be consumed with the need of God's power. And we must be consumed with the desire, I want to be like Thee. I want to be like Christ. So we need to honestly examine our heart today. What is it that I want? More than anything in the world, what is it that I want? If that question was presented to you today, as it was Elisha, ask for anything. What would you ask for? Some would say, well, I would ask that the Lord would save my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife or my grandkids. That's a good thing, but that's not the first thing you should ask for. If you had one thing, it should be to be like you, to be like Christ. That's what we ought to desire. That was Elisha's desire. So we see this journey. Now we want to go back to 1 Kings 19. Because there we see the basis of this journey. There are not many of God's people that live what we just read in 2 Kings chapter 2. Journeying with God. So what was it that enabled Elisha to have this journey with God? Well, that took place back in 1 Kings 19. First of all, there was a life-changing event in the life of Elisha. Again, in 1 Kings 19 and 16, we read that Elijah was instructed to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in his stead. In verse 19, Elijah obeys the command of God, and he finds Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. The fact that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, or 24 oxen, speaks of the wealth of his family. We read that as he was plowing, that Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now in the Bible days, a mantle was an outer cloak used for additional covering and warmth. It was basically a blanket. The mantle was usually made of wool, sheepskin. It had slits for the arms, not sleeves. The mantle was for protection from the elements. In the sun, it provided shade. In the wind, it was a shield. In the rain, it was a cover. In the cold, it was for warmth. But the mantle also was a symbol of authority. We see that Elijah cast his mantle, tossed his mantle upon Elisha. This was a powerful token of friendship. It was also an invitation to come under the care and the protection and the provision, and more importantly, the tutelage of Elijah. Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. This was a call. It was a call of God upon Elisha to a life of service. Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was not seeking God that day. But that day, something very real and something very wonderful and marvelous happened to Elisha. Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. And Elisha knew what that meant. He knew what it meant. This was something that Elisha personally experienced. This was something that Elisha personally felt. That day, Elisha personally experienced the Lord. Be sure of this. You will never experience 2 Kings 2 without a real personal experience of God in your life. Before you will ever go all the way with God, there must be a personal experience of saved. Saved. I'm not talking about being raised in the church. That's a wonderful thing to be raised in church, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about attending church services all your life. That's a wonderful thing also. I'm not talking about being active in the church or being raised in a Christian home or incorporating those teachings into your life. All of those are wonderful things. But they will not enable you to go all the way with God. I'm talking about a specific time and place when God came where you were and broke the holding and binding power of sin and imparted life to your soul and raised you up from a spiritual grave and brought you out from under a terrible crushing weight of sin and condemnation. I'm talking about the miraculous experience of salvation. Elijah cast his mantle upon Elisha. It was at this very moment that Elisha felt within him the working of God. At that very moment, he felt God working in him. And it was something that changed Elisha's heart. It was something that changed his thinking, his perception, his attitude, his purpose, and his life. We have to have that experience in our life. Now, I believe all of that is very applicable to the call to the ministry, but again, that's not our subject. And there's much to be learned there. But notice, Elisha realizes God, as soon as that blanket fell upon Elisha, Elisha knew that God was doing a work in his heart, and he knew what it meant. Now notice his response in verse 20. And he left the oxen. And he left the oxen. He didn't finish plowing the field. He left the oxen. Elisha had just experienced and felt the life-changing power of God. And as a result, the oxen and the work of the field was no longer a priority. And notice verse 20. And ran after Elijah. And ran after Elijah, being powerfully moved by God, he ran after Elijah. There is an earnest pursuit of Elijah due to the work of God in his heart. And be sure of this, we will not live the experience of 2 Kings 2 without a personal experience of God changing our priorities and our pursuits. We also read verse 20. Elisha, again, he knew what this meant. He knew that God was calling him to be a prophet and to follow Elijah. And Elisha makes a request of Elijah. Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. Elisha expresses his intent to follow Elijah, and he says, but if you would just first let me go and kiss mom and dad goodbye. And Elijah responds, go back again. That is, go home and tell mom and dad goodbye. For what have I done to thee? Elijah knows that all he has done is cast his mantle upon Elisha. Elijah knows that. But in this response to Elisha, he is recognizing that God is doing a work in the heart of Elisha. Also in these words, go back again, for what have I done to thee? He is saying, go back, tell mom and dad goodbye, but as you go, consider, don't forget what has happened to you. Don't forget. And again, we will not live the experience of 2 Kings chapter 2 without an awareness of what God has done in our life. In verse 21, and he returned back from him. He returned to his father's house. He told his parents and perhaps other loved ones, I love you dearly, but God has called me to his service, and I must go. I'm leaving today. Again, we will not live the experience of 2 Kings 2 if we do not recognize the relative position of family ties with God. You know how many people do not serve God because of family ties? Because they do not recognize the relative position, family, God. Elisha recognized it that day. He recognized he loved mom and dad, but God comes first. And this is the reason many do not live in 2 Kings 2, a journey with God. Because their journey is always being interrupted by their family ties. That's another message. Thirdly, notice his seriousness about leaving his former life. Elisha returns from his father's house back to the field where he was plowing. And no doubt he has returned with some others, family members, no doubt. And we read in verse 21, and he took a yoke of oxen and he slew them. And he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. Elisha killed these oxen. And he used the plow to kindle the fire. And by this act, he is saying, again, what application to the call of the ministry here, but that's not a point. We're talking about the Christian life. By this act, he is saying, I am completely dedicated to the work of Elijah. I am completely dedicated to the work of the Lord. There has been a drastic change in my life, and I am leaving the farming life behind. When Elisha killed those oxen, and then when he took the plow and used that to kindle the fire, he was saying, my purpose in life is now different. It's all different. When Elisha killed these oxen and used the plow to kindle the fire, he was separating himself from his past life. He was burning all bridges. He had no intention of ever going back. Realizing that he now had a new life. And the reason that so many of God's people do not live in 2 Kings chapter 2, going on and on and on with God, is because there is a refusal to bid farewell to the former life. They always have a bridge to get back there. They always have a way, just in case if it doesn't work, to go back. You need to burn all bridges going back to the former life. So you have no choice but to go on and on and on with God. This was an occasion of great joy. We read in verse 21, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. This is a celebration. Elisha is about to leave all behind to enter into unknown territory and serve God with the rest of his life. And this was not with a spirit of dread. This was not with a spirit of apprehension. But this was with a spirit of and an attitude of joy and delight. And be sure of this, you will not live the experience of 2 Kings 2 going on and on and on with God unless you find delight in doing so. And that's what we see here in Elisha. There was also a surrender and taking a proper position in relation to Elijah. When Elisha left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and when he returned to his father's house and bid his mom and dad farewell, and when he returned back to Elisha and killed the oxen and burned the plow, he was saying, I surrender all. I surrender everything for this new life that I'm about to enter. And again, you will not live the experience of 2 Kings 2 going on and on and on with God without this surrender. It will not happen. Notice verse 21. Then he arose and went after Elijah. And for the next 10 to 12 years, he observed Elijah. He learned from Elijah. But we also read, and ministered unto him. I believe it's 2 Kings 3, verse 11. This, of course, is after Elijah's gone on. But I believe it said the part of the ministry was Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. He's with Elijah as Elijah's servant. Elijah, for the next 10 to 12 years, gets all the attention, gets all the recognition. And everywhere they go, perhaps people would look at Elisha and say, then who are you? And he'd say, I'm with him. I'm with him. That was good enough for Elisha. The relationship began as master and servant. But as they walked together, it grew beyond that. It grew into an intimate relationship of friendship. And that is clearly illustrated throughout 2 Kings chapter 2. Be sure of this. We will not live the experience of 2 Kings 2 going on and on and on with God without a growing relationship with Him. And notice the result of all of this. If we go back to 2 Kings 2, Elisha experienced personal fellowship with Elijah. In verse 1, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Did Elisha feel the presence of Elijah with him? He sure did. Verse 2, last part of the verse. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 4, last part of the verse. So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, last part of the verse again. And they too went on. In verse 7, last part of the verse, they too stood by Jordan. Verse 8, so they too went over on dry ground. In verse 11, they still went on. What a beautiful picture. That's how it ought to be with you, us, and God. What a wonderful way to live. What a wonderful way to live. Elisha experienced victory firsthand. After they left Jericho for Jordan, we read in verse 6, and they too went on. In verse 7, we read of 50 of the sons of the prophets who went and stood to view afar off. They're standing there at Jericho and they keep their distance, but they want to see what happens at Jordan. They stood to view afar off. Sadly, that is descriptive of many of God's people. But notice, and they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. There they are standing together before this obstacle, the Jordan River. You and I are going to face many an obstacle in life. And the best way to get through any obstacle is stand there with God. Just stand there with God. There's the picture we have, Elisha and Elijah. Standing there before Jordan. Notice verse 8. So they too went over on dry ground. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So they too went on dry ground. Elisha didn't see this from afar. He was there. Don't try to live the Christian life from afar. You get right next to God and you experience victory. Elisha didn't just have to hear about the victory. Elisha was there with God. And a lot of God's people, all they can do is talk about what others have experienced, because they do not experience them themselves, because they're not right there with God. Then Elisha personally witnessed something extraordinary. Versus going, he witnessed with his own eyes Elijah going up by a whirlwind in heaven. Notice verse 11 and verse 12. There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And parted them both, Elijah and Elisha. Nothing else could part them. And parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But then notice what it says. And Elisha, verse 12, saw it. And Elisha saw it. And no doubt this would have an effect on the remainder of his life. Had he stayed in Gilgal, he wouldn't have seen this. Had he stayed in Gilgal, he would not have experienced crossing the Jordan. Had he stayed in Gilgal, he would not have experienced his sweet fellowship with Elijah. Had he stayed in Bethel or Jericho, he would not have seen this. He would not have experienced these things. But I'm telling you today, a journey with God leads to personal witness of things that you otherwise would never see. Oh, we need to have a journey with God. And then in verse 14 and 15, Elijah's gone. Elisha rents his clothes. He takes up the mantle of Elijah that fell off of him. And in verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He's asking for the power of God. When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view Jericho, those were the ones who were standing far off, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha." A journey with God leads to divine enablement. Elisha has been on a journey with Elijah, and now Elisha is enabled to part the Jordan. A journey with God. Again, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which enables me." So what we read in our text verses is a wonderful lesson in living life to the fullest. Elijah and Elisha on their journey together is a picture of an ongoing journey with God. Every one of us are on a journey. We that are saved, we are on a journey that's going to take us to heaven. Those that are lost, you're on a journey that's going to take you to hell unless God intervenes. But we're all on a journey. Sadly, not all of God's people, though they're saved, though they're on their way to heaven, they do not take this journey with God. We have no idea what we're going to face, what we're going to encounter during our journey. But I'll tell you this, whatever it is, it's better to do it with God than to do it without Him. And what prompted this amazing journey was a life-changing experience with God that caused Elisha to surrender all and submit to Elijah. So we have to ask, have you had a soul and life-changing experience of God? People will say, "I'm trying." I'm trying to just go on and on and on with God, but it's so hard. It's so hard. I just can't do it. Have you had a life-changing experience with God? That's where we have to begin. If so, you can go back to a place and a time and you know, yes, I've been saved. Then the next question is it still real to you today? Or is that just something that happened a long time ago and it's buried in your mind somewhere? I'm telling you, if you're going to go on and on and on with God, it still has to be real to you today. To be able to stand and say, I will not, I will not, I will not leave thee. It has to be real. Are you still living under the influence of that life-changing experience? If not, you need to get back there. So look at your life. Is it truly a journey? On and on and on with God. He went from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. And every step of the way, Elisha went with Elijah. God help us to walk every step of the way with God. We are going to stand before many a Jordan River in our lives. But I just love those words. They stood there together. I love that picture. Elisha and Elijah standing there before that obstacle, before that impossibility, standing there together. We're going to face some impossibilities in our life. But all to stand before them with God. What a difference. So I ask you today, is your life journey a going on and on and on with God? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.